Let's hear God's word, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years are as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for your precious word of truth. And as we come to one of the collection of these wonderful writings of the various psalmists, a portion of your word that we can find so much help in from time to time, we come, Father, to this particular psalm today, and as we minister from it, I pray that God's word might be used to God's glory, to bless, to encourage, to strengthen God's people, and to speak to those who are still without Christ. We need your help, we acknowledge that, and we, Father, wait for that help to be granted, to give us the power, the liberty, the effectiveness to minister your word for all our good, for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to say that each time I stand before a congregation like this, that I am always very conscious indeed that there is always someone there in the midst of that gathering who may find themselves in some kind of difficulty. It might be that you're here this morning in this large congregation, and already you know that this is exactly how you feel. It might be indeed that you're here and you're struggling to find your way through some particular besetting problem in your life, and you long indeed to find help in that difficulty. It might be that you're a person who needs to simply be identified with and then ministered to. And to such, if that's where you find yourself today, it is to you in particular that I want to primarily direct my ministry in this psalm this morning, trusting that if that is where you are, if you're in difficulties, if you're facing a problem, if you're downcast in spirit, that here this morning that you might find the needed help. But not only for you in particular, but I trust that all present this morning will find that help and that encouragement from the Word of God this morning to give us the strength and the support that we all need from time to time in the midst and mixture of life's experience. I'm quite sure that, like me, you have found that from time to time, life can deal us some very difficult situations. Sometimes life's experience can be extremely hard. And I've discovered, as indeed I'm sure those who are in Christ today, that being in Christ does not set us in immunity against these kind of things. We're just as liable to go through the storms of difficulty. We face the same problems in life, and we do need from time to time to find that which encourages us. I think that Psalm 61 serves us well in this connection. I think that you would agree with me that Psalm 61, in it we find that kind of material, that food that we can feed on, that brings us such help in such situations that I've described already. Indeed, it's a psalm that has been well named because I find that it has been described as David's heart cry to his God. And if you want me to put a title on the subject for today, I could find no better words than simply to say that here, Psalm 61, we could write over it all, the cry of a troubled heart. Here we find David in a condition that is paralyzing. In this, I want us to understand something of the circumstances that prevailed in David's life. Something of the reason why David is brought into this condition of heart and mind, causing him to turn to his God as he does, and to, from the depths of his experience and out of the deepest recesses of his heart, he makes his cry, he makes his plea to God, he cries to God for help. And I trust that as we in turn listen to this man, and possibly even identify with him, that we might find that which we can gain maximum benefit from as we come to the Word this morning. I think in order to appreciate what really brought David into this situation, we could do no better than to turn to verse 2 and find there the prevailing situation that he seems to speak out of. He says there, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Some have taken the words of verse 2 to refer to a time when David, for whatever reason, at this particular time, he felt cut off from Jerusalem, to be far from the beloved city of Jerusalem. And I think that we need to understand, we need to appreciate that to the Jewish mind, that was something that was unthinkable almost, because there in Jerusalem was the temple and there was the dwelling place of God. So in turn, when I say that David felt cut off from his beloved city of Jerusalem, it is the same as saying that David at this time, for whatever reason, he felt cut off from God. And some will take the view that this is simply only a geographical reference, when either for some military on some military campaign, or perhaps it was a time when he was fleeing from Saul, or was it Absalom? He finds himself in the wilderness of the Judean hills. But then there are others who take the view, I understand, that this has a metaphorical meaning. This has a metaphorical reference to David's sense of being at a distance from God. That indeed trouble and distress had kept him at a distance from God, in this, placed him in this kind of far away from God feeling. And right away we're beginning perhaps to identify with this possibility, because it might be that this is exactly how you find yourself in God's house today. It might be that you've got on your Sunday smile with your Sunday best. And it may be that hidden from other people is the reality of how you really feel. You've been singing God's praise, and you're listening to me preach, and you enjoy the psalm as it has been read. But the truth of the matter is, in reality, you have that far away from God feeling that has gripped your heart. And that, I believe, is really how we should interpret this psalm today. And say that for whatever reason David felt as he did, that you and I can so readily identify with this man. We can so readily identify with his feelings. And thus we can find ready application of this psalm to our own experience. What that might be, possibly, now or in the future. But we can so easily be brought into this kind of situation. For example, there's a variety of reasons that we might list. It might be that you are arrested, your heart is gripped, your spirit is dulled with this far away from God feeling because of discouragements that have come into your life. Maybe there have been disappointments that have rendered your heart to be discouraged. Maybe you're disappointed with yourself. Do you ever feel that you don't like yourself? Do you ever feel that when you look at your life, you wonder how God could ever love you? Maybe you've been disappointed because you have failed in a particular area of your Christian experience. Or maybe it is that you're disappointed others have let you down. And you expected so much from them. And yet they have failed you and you're disappointed. It's maybe, as I say, because of disappointment. It's maybe because of failure in your own life. It's maybe because of health problems or a broken relationship. And on we could go. And you can readily identify with the reason why the reality of your heart is that, you know what? I'm in that far away from God feeling today. And albeit I'm singing the hymns and I'm following the service, and yet the reality is I'm just like this man David. I'm in a far away from God kind of feeling. And my friends, what ill effect these things can and do have upon us. We look at David and we find him in a perplexing situation because of the prevailing circumstances that surrounded his life. But then I want us to look not only at the prevailing situation, but look at the perplexing condition of heart and mind that David finds himself in as a result of his trouble. Listen just to how he tells us how he felt at this particular time. Listen to how this man describes this far away from God feeling that had arrested his heart. He tells us there, when my heart is overwhelmed. And that speaks volumes to us. That tells us how this man really feels. It is though that here is a man speaking out of his experience, and he looks at his situation and he thinks about his circumstances and he says, you know what, it's just as though a tidal wave of trouble has hit my life and has washed over my life and I'm absolutely done for. I'm overwhelmed. He tells us that he feels isolated. He tells us, yes, that as I've said, he feels cut off and lonely and even threatened and so vulnerable. He's simply overcome with trouble. Is that how you feel today? Is that how some of God's people in this gathering this morning, as we look at Psalm 61, is that how you feel? Well, if that is the case, perhaps this, if you can readily identify with how the psalmist feels, overshadowed by some kind of difficulty, overcome with worries and fears, as you simply try to keep going. Yet maybe here is why God has brought us to this service today. And maybe this, might I suggest, is why God has turned us to this psalm this morning, that you, my friend, that you might learn how you can overcome rather than being overcome. And I know I struggle. When trouble hits me, I don't handle it the best sometimes. You know, sometimes we imagine that those who are full-time in the Lord's work, I mean pastors, etc., that, you know, trouble off, we can deal with it. Brush it off the shoulder. No problem. We're such super spiritual people. I want you to know that when I cut my finger, red blood flows out just like yours. And that we're not 5 foot above contradiction. And that when trouble does come, sometimes we mess it up. Sometimes we get it wrong. And we need the ministry of this psalm just perhaps like you do. Can I identify with you today? When I say that so readily any one of us can be overwhelmed with a tidal wave of trouble that can come into our experience. And yet God in His grace and in His love and in His care for you and for me, He gives us psalms like this. He gives us men like this, David the psalmist, that we can identify with and learn from. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed. Somebody says, smile, and I say, how can I? Other people, have you ever noticed when you have toothache and you look around people and you think to yourself, those people, they don't have the pain that I have. And we can engage in a bout of self-pity. And we can imagine that trouble only comes to us. Toothache only comes to us. Trouble only comes to us. But it doesn't only come to us. It is a common experience of people in the common course of life. And it is exactly the same in the spiritual realm. The secret is how we handle our problems. Look at the positive resignation in this connection. How did David handle his problem? Did he put on sackcloth and ashes? Did he go away and find a corner and say, oh, I'm done for. I'll never overcome this. I'll never rise above this. This is the big one that's really going to take me down. And there's no answer, no matter what I do, no matter what I hear, no matter how I speak to other people. There just does not seem to be the solution to my problem. But look at verse 1 again. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. That's the positive resignation that he employs here. David did not find the answer in himself. David, in actual fact, did not find his answer in his own wonderful resources, as often we try to. And you know what? When we try to find the answer to some of our problems, when we try to find the answer to those within ourselves, our own positive, happy kind of outlook personality, the truth is we become unstuck. And the problem still prevails. And maybe that's exactly what's happening to you. You're looking into yourself and you're trying to find the answer to that problem, that difficulty that shrouds your life today. Well, David didn't make that mistake. Rather, he turned away from self to God. I picked up this quotation in preparation. Let me quote it. When man is in trouble, he needs one greater than himself. Can I repeat that? When man is in trouble, he needs one greater than himself. The psalmist David realized that. And with David, we need to realize this too. I wonder, does all this speak to someone in particular? And truth is, you have searched and you've struggled to find a way out of a situation so severe, so difficult, so debilitating indeed. And yet the situation prevails. You're still here with a heavy heart, and your spirit is still suppressed within you. And what have you done this week? You've struggled, you've searched, you've longed to find the answer within yourself. How we must be like David. We must learn to recognize that we need to resign ourselves to the fact that God alone can help us. Listen to Job 23. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groan. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words that he would say to him. I would bring, if I just knew where I might find him, I would bring all my problems to God. That's the resignation of Job. And it was exactly the same with David. And it must be likewise with you and with me. For I say again, this is where we must get to in our trials and in our difficulties, times of distress. For just listen to the psalmist in Psalm 34 at verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What an experience it was for David to come again and again, problem after problem, difficulty upon difficulty, but to bring it all, not to try and search the answer for the answer within himself, but to just load it all onto God. And the Lord hears. And the Lord answers and delivers. He alone can help us. The second thing I want us to find here is a confidence that is proclaimed. A condition that is paralyzing. We can understand that. That's what trouble can do. But look at the confidence that is proclaimed. We begin here by noting how that David comes to God and he addresses God. And I love these words. Here's how this man prays. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Often when David was fleeing from Saul or any of his enemies, indeed, as he would flee in battle, we're told again and again that he would find a safe haven in the rocks of the Judean hills, into which he could run and find shelter and know some measure of security. And it is thought that this language that he uses here in this Psalm 61 comes from a reflection of that kind of experience that he had had. And he now sees in his recall, he thinks or he sees God as his rock into which he can run and hide, one to whom he can run and find shelter from that which threatened and troubled him. Now, there are 2 points here that I want, and I must be very brief. I'm watching that clock on the wall. I know you are too, but I'm doing my best. There are 2 points that I want to focus just on very briefly. First of all, there is the reassurance of reflection. The reassurance of reflection. I think this is a good thing to do when we're in trouble. The reassurance of reflection, it's always so helpful, and especially so when in trouble, to look back and to remember and to reflect on God's goodness to us in past situations. To recall how that indeed He, God, has been with us to protect us, to help us, and to deliver us. Listen to the psalmist in this connection, recorded for us in verse 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." He's going back in his thoughts. He's recalling. He's reflecting. And maybe this is something that some of us need to do in a particular situation that we may find ourselves in at this particular time, to remember that the God of those past situations is the God of what you may face at this particular time. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as you learn to rely on Him then, so you can draw from that to help you now, allowing that to bring fresh confidence and courage to your heart and to your mind. Then there is the reaffirmation of resignation in verse 4. Listen, he says, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covering of your wings." David resigns himself afresh to God's care. And we find that with clear assurance, he does so with clear assurance that God will sustain him. The God of the past who helped him in the past is the God of the present, and the God who will sustain him in this difficult time. When I read those words of verse 4, I recall the first 4 verses of Psalm 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust." I remember carrying a little Gideon Testament just after I came to know the Lord. And I was employed in engineering then, and I kept it in the pocket of my overalls, and I would read it every lunchtime. And I was struck by the heading, and if you have a Gideon Testament, you can check this one out. The heading of Psalm 91 is simply, "The Confidence of the Godly." The confidence of the Godly. And that's what David was doing. He was renewing his confidence in God. What an inspiration to us when filled with fear, when gripped with grief. And then surely these words of Psalm 61, verse 2, surely they inspired the hymn writer William Cushing to pen those great words of that much loved hymn of his, "O save to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrow would fly, so sinful, so weary. Thine would I be, thou blessed rock of ages. I'm hiding in thee. My friend, this is where we must get to when trouble comes. When difficulties come our way, we need to find shelter in God's care. I remember reading some time ago that as God's people, that we must learn not to view God through our problems, but we must learn to view our problems through God. And my, what a difference that makes. And maybe that's where you and I go wrong. Maybe we view God through our problems, and our problems have clouded out God because we're looking the wrong way. Instead of viewing our problems from a Godward stance. And what a difference that makes. Let me be brief, because I must finish this. I want us to look at verse 5 following and find a conclusion that is positive in all of this. David's cry to God had been of great help to him. We have seen that in his time of distress. And prayer always is. When in difficulties, it's good to turn to God and to spread our needs before God. His heart seems to, as a result of this, to be calmed. His mind seems to be clear. And now he speaks with what can only be thought of as assured conviction. Verses 5 through 7. I won't take time to read them again. But we go back to the possible reason why it is that David found himself in this distress and this difficulty. And it was that he was pursued by jealous Saul or rebellious Absalom, both of whom sought his life. There's no doubt about it. He felt endangered. His life indeed was threatened. But all that is now past when we come to verse 5, all that is now past, and he had found shelter in and been sustained by God. He is now where he feels assured again of God's care and God's control upon the situation of his life. And he speaks there in those verses with calm assurance. That's where we find David. But I think that you and I, we must, with great care, we must see that he had taken certain steps to bring him to this point. And mark them well. And then we need to go on from that, and we need to learn that when trouble comes our way, we must do exactly as David did. We must prove God afresh. That is, prove God to be faithful and unfailing in his promise of his care for each one of his children. I like those words there. They can be a bit of a puzzle. They're in verse 5. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. What does that mean? Well, what's really David saying there? I think it's so easy for any one of us when trouble comes to feel neglected. There's nobody really cares about me. There's nobody would ask you. There's nobody would say to you, you're not your normal self. Is there anything wrong? And for that matter, sometimes the heavens seem like brass and you're not getting help from any quarter. It's so easy to feel like that. And as I've said earlier, to engage in a bout of self-pity. But I like the second part of verse 5, and if I can paraphrase it, really what the psalmist is saying here is, you have given me the same favor with which God deals with all his children. That's what he's saying there. You have given to me the same attention, God. You have given me the same measure of love, the same measure of care that you give to all your children. I have felt cut off. I have felt vulnerable. I have engaged in a bit of self-pity and poor me. But now I'm brought to see that you deal equally with all your people. What comfort that brought to him. I remember many years ago driving past a church, and the wayside pulpit was the poster. It never left me. It so impressed me. And as I sat at the traffic lights, I read the words, and they were simply, Does God seem far away? You lock into that right away, don't you? Especially when you're in trouble. Does God seem far away? Who moved? I tell you, that impressed me. I ask you, as your brother in Christ, in your situation, does God seem far away? Who moved? God didn't. He's unchanging. And then in verse 8, there is that avowed commitment to be thankful and to show it continually. That's what he's saying. Out of gratitude, just listen to this man, how he teaches us a most important lesson. And that simply is this, that when God helps us, when God gives us the solution to the problem and he lifts us out of despair, we must not be forgetful of his goodness. How easy it is to be so very fervent in prayer when the difficulties are around us, when concern threatens us. Yet God lifts it, God delivers us, and we forget to show our continuing, ongoing gratitude as we ought. By singing his praise, yes, by performing our vows continually. You know, that's why I'm a Baptist. I love the Baptist morning service. There's a table spread every Sunday morning. And it gives me an opportunity to come and to express in a sense of obligation, to express to God what this table means to me in thanksgiving, that Christ died. He took my sins in his own body. He shed his blood, and that I can come and I can pay my vows to him. I can say, Lord, I love you because you first loved me. Sometimes we forget to show our gratitude. And sometimes we have plans for other things and thoughts on other things. Let's not forget the table. Let's not forget to pay our vows. Let's not forget, friends, to show that we are so grateful for what God has done to us, for us in salvation, but also what God does for us in an ongoing way. Look at the deliverance the Lord has brought to us, and ongoing it is in character. So when we do this, our lives are pleasing to God. But when we do not do this, we fail. And we're only using God, or we're trying to use God as a passport out of trouble. Oh God, I'm in trouble. Oh God, if you do this, and if you do that, then I will. And God does this and that, and then you don't do the I will. What's wrong? And David says, hold on a wee minute. I'm not going to forget. I'm going to pay my vows daily. I'm going to show my gratitude. Because it is as one said, those who prove God will praise him. And sometimes we find that these characters, such as David here in this psalm, sets before us a tremendous challenge. Because I believe that something that we find David was careful to remember, vowing that he would not forget God's goodness to him. And I ask the question, should it be any different with us? I like what Spurgeon says in a summing up of this psalm, speaking of the shared experience of the psalmist David. He who began at the foot of the rock, half drowned and almost dead, is here led to the summit and sings like a priest abiding in the tabernacle, a king ruling with God forever and a prophet foretelling good things to come, reminding us of the uplifting power of faith and prayer, and that there are none so low but that they may be set on high. Do you feel overwhelmed? Here's God's medicine for your heart today. Psalm 61. Take it at least 3 times daily. May God bless his word to our hearts.